Can you see it? I see a young Elliot Friedman. Black? No. Red. Red Camaro, IROC, of course. T-tops out. Mullet flowing with some Skynyrd blasting. One hand on the wheel. Left hand. The
sunglasses
other
on for
the
sure.
Other hand on the gear shifter, because it's a standard, right?
Yeah, you gotta go 5-speed.
Yeah. Cruising for them chicks. Am I bang on or am I bang on?
You're bang on.
I just nailed me
to a T.
Yes.
You enthusiastically agreed.
I know you, you young buck. How are you?
I'm just getting ready to leave my wife and son downstairs and go out do exactly what you just said.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You got the command start? You started it so it's nice and warm?
That's right, yeah. I'm just getting the leather gloves on, yes.
Is it really T-tops weather in Toronto?
It's chilly with the rooftop.
Perfect, nice. Perfect for that,
now,
yes.
Now, you're going to Sochi, correct?
Yes, I leave on Sunday.
Now, have we set up any kind of a schedule or a plan as to how we're going to converse, or...
No, not yet.
Okay, good. Well,
sounds like pretty standard.
That seems
operating procedure.
Seems appropriate. I guess what's on your mind? We're getting close to the trade deadline. News coming out this morning, according to Arthur Staples.
I think it's. And he's been pretty good on this one. He's been pretty connected. Yeah.
Newsday out of New York reporting that Thomas Vanek has been offered a substantial offer is what he's using. And he was it was turned down. Thomas Vanek says he is not going to sign with the Islanders, at least this deal. So now the signal being Garth Snow has a major chip in play before March 5th.
Well, I think you're seeing this happen in a couple places now, because there's also the issue with Ryan Callahan with the New York Rangers. And, you know, if you're a player now, I mean, look at what's happening in free agency. There's not a lot out there. You know, Thomas Vanek, and he's playing very well, and if he goes to a contender and plays even better, it's only going to drive up his price. You know, Callahan is a guy whose market value is a little different than his value is determined differently than Vanek's, but he's an impactful player in his own way. And if you look at what's available in free agency, and you look at the pressures that teams face in free agency, and you look at some of these teams that are going to need people, why would you sign early unless you just got a ridiculous offer? Now, the New York Rangers do not want to go 7 years with Ryan Callahan, but if he gets to the market and a bunch of teams are bidding for him, you got to see how somebody's going to go 7 years for him. And the other thing that was mentioned to me this weekend is, I didn't think about this, is that don't forget we're a year out of a lockout, and some guys' feelings are still very raw about A, what happened, and B, the money they lost. So I also wonder if that is a factor in all of this too. The cap is going up, although the dollar is starting, people are starting to wonder about the dollar's effect in all this. I just think if you're a free agent, it's pretty smart business to say no unless you get an unbelievable offer, because when all these teams are under pressure to bid on July 1st, you know, hey, you're probably going to see your offer go up.
Yeah. I guess I can see it with the Islanders, right? They're not going to make the playoffs from all appearances.
Vanek doesn't look like it.
Is going to be a UFA. For the Rangers, they, I would guess, have to feel like they're anticipating being a playoff team to trade away their captain and one of their heart and soul guys while being in the midst of a playoff run and hopefully securing a spot makes... I don't recall the last time we've seen this sort of a scenario.
Well, we're looking at a little gamesmanship here. There's no question about it. Like Glenn Sather is one of the toughest guys in the league when it comes to this kind of thing. He likes to grind you, but he also will play a little bit of chicken. I think there's a lot of people who believe that that's what he's doing. They really felt that if he was about to trade Callahan, he wouldn't have played last Friday against the Islanders, especially since the story broke kind of about an hour or two before the game started. There's some question as to whether or not Callahan will play this week. They play tomorrow and they play Thursday, I believe. And if he doesn't play, then you'll know he's really serious. But there is a little bit of gamesmanship on here going on with Callahan, too. So there's certainly some degree of that. And I think that's, at the end of the day, how it's all going to work. But it is an unusual situation, Dean. There's no question about that.
Beyond that, I know that I think it was Don Brennan in the Ottawa Sun had the Senators as very close to making a deal on the weekend, and then it fell through. Speculation being maybe it was a Matt Molson deal until he got injured. Do you have anything there?
Not specifically. I do think that Molson, I don't know if Molson was that close, to be perfectly honest. I think Buffalo, I've heard with Buffalo, they are waiting to see their, like, I believe the LA Kings would like to get their hands on him too, and the Kings would like to do something already. I still think, from what I heard, Buffalo was trying to create a bigger market for both him and Ryan Miller. The one move I've kind of heard has been talked about to some degree and looked close at one point, although I don't know what happened, was Sam Gagner, and I think LA has some interest in him. And I think there's a couple of moving parts there, including are the Oilers willing to keep part of the salary to make that work from a cap point of view? But I do think the Kings have some legitimate interest in Gagner, and I think those two teams have talked very seriously.
That would be a big price tag, would it not?
I don't know how big the price tag would be. I don't know the answer to that. I don't think the Kings want to give up too many guys off their roster, because I think they see themselves very similar to how they were in 2012. Like, remember, when they traded for Jeff Carter, they were 29th in the league in goals, and they got hot and they won the Stanley Cup. And so I think what they kind of look like is, we're the same kind of team right now. We want to add as opposed to subtract, which is why I think taking money might be part of the issue here, because the Kings probably want to give up someone or something that won't take away too much from their current roster.
Elliot, just what's the exact rule of taking salary? Is it just for this year, or could you theoretically do it over the term of the remaining contract, be it two more years beyond this with Gagner, for example?
Well, I think that's there is some flexibility there. I mean, the rules are it can't be more than 15% of your cap. It can't be more than 50% of the, I believe it's 15% of your cap, 50% of the player's salary, and you can have a max 3 on your roster at any one time. Although I have a feeling, since I'm answering this question right off the top of my head, I might be getting, I know 3 max at any one time.
Yeah.
I know you can only take 50% of the player's contract, and I want to say it can only be 15% of your cap, but I'm not as sure as the third one right now.
Do you have a thought on who might fill in for Johan Franzen with Team Sweden, Elliot?
I'd be surprised if it wasn't Nyquist.
Hat-trick last night doesn't hurt either?
No, 4-point game yesterday definitely does not hurt. And the Czechs have to make a change, too, with Sobotka not going. And the word I'm hearing from some guys I know who cover them overseas is that they're looking at a lot of the local guys. Like Marty Irad is the one NHL name I get mentioned as a potential, but I believe it's 3 local guys they're looking at.
So Peter Nedved's older brother, I'm told, is the inside.
Yeah, that's his dad. Does the coach have another son-in-law who's eligible? Because one of the guys they took is a son-in-law.
I know it's rare that politics and hockey
happens.
Saw a report over the weekend from George McPhee of the Washington Capitals. This was from Joe Micheletti and then reported by Neil Greenberg. George McPhee said the Capitals, and I'm paraphrasing, the Capitals would have 10 more points with better goaltending. Do you believe that? And I guess secondarily, can you now put the Capitals in a Ryan Miller mix?
Well, I do believe that. I mean, their goaltending hasn't been that great. Their save percentage, I believe, is below average. So, yes, that is something. I don't know if they'd have 10 more points, but that is a factor. I mean, the Capitals right now, I mean, they're a mess. I couldn't watch a ton of their game yesterday because we were on the air at the same time. I watched some of the highlights. I think you're looking at a team. I mean, they've changed coaches 3 times. They played one way under Boudreau. They played another way under Hunter. They're playing another way under Oates. And how did they get the farthest? Under Hunter.
Yeah.
They got just the 7 games of a second round against the Rangers. I just think that they may have to look at the way they're going and saying, are we looking at this the wrong way? Maybe we don't like the way that Dale Hunter coached our team, but maybe that's the way our team needs to play. They are, if you ask the teams who play against them, they are one of the worst teams in the league at attention to detail. Things like, you know, where guys are supposed to be, the kinds of defensive plays that need to be made, the kinds of smart transition plays that need to be made. They're not the most disciplined group in the league, for sure. And, you know, Ovechkin takes a lot of the bullets for that, and that's what happens when you're the highest paid player. But at the end of the day, he's paid to score goals, and he does it. And he's never going to be, I guess he's just decided, he's never going to be a great two-way player. And I think that causes a problem because it causes difficulty with some of his teammates. But the fact is, he takes a lot of bullets for them. Like, for example, like this week, Zdeno Chara is going to miss two games to go be the flag bearer for Slovakia. Fine. If the Bruins have no problem with that, great honor for Chara. He's won them a Stanley Cup, and he got them close to another. Fine. Ovechkin didn't miss any games at the season opener to be the flag to carry the torch for Sochi's games, and the debate about it was ridiculous. If he missed two games this week, it would be like the internet would collapse upon itself, and there's barely a peep for Chara. I think maybe it's because Chara's a better player. Maybe it's because he's a better leader, but there's definitely a different standard of the way Ovechkin is seen towards a lot of other guys, and I think there are a lot of other problems in Washington just besides him.
Yeah, or maybe it's because Chara's won a cup in the last 5 years.
Well, that's true. I think it is because Chara has won a cup. There's no question about it. He's a great leader as a player, and Washington is underachieved compared to Boston. But it's just amazing how we haven't heard a peep out of him missing two games, and Ovechkin even coming close to missing a game was a firestorm.
Of course, Flames fans here, as we talk about Vanek and Matt Molson and these other players that potentially could be moved, continue to wonder about Mike Camilleri. He gets back into the lineup after the concussion. Did not score, did not get on the score sheet, but did get himself into just under 20 minutes of ice time. And do you see a fit? Without having maybe any inside intel or whatever, but
you know the one team I have heard about Camilleri is New Jersey, and I could see how that would make some sense. New Jersey is looking has had a bit of a rotation with Yager and Eliash, and I could see a possibility of that. That's the one team I have heard. I mean, Camilleri was I was happy to see. You know, he takes his first shift on Saturday night, and he gets run into, and you're looking at the game, and you're like, oh, no, like, is this going to be a relapse? Is he going to get knocked out again? And you can see the look on his face just on camera for a second, like he was thinking the exact same thing. But happily, it didn't look that was the case. And a Devils team that needs scoring, it's the one team name I've heard. And the other reason I could see it happening is, you know, Burke and Lamoriello have a relationship, a very good one. But like I said, I've heard it, but I have no proof that that's actually going to happen.
No first-round pick there for the Devils to trade, of course. So.
No, but you know what? They don't. That's right. They don't. And that could be another reason they want to make the deal. They want to make that lost pick as high as possible.
Just a thought, Elliot, on the Vancouver Canucks. They get John Tortorella back tonight. They've got 8 games until the trade deadline. I imagine this is somewhat of a mini audition for this core heading into the March 5th trade freeze.
I would be surprised, Ryan, if one of their key core players got dealt during the season. You know, the one thing about the Western Conference is when you look at the standings, you know, it's not like any of those teams. You know, Vancouver's a point up right now on Phoenix. And there, but nobody else is really making you look like, well, with the exception of Winnipeg, which is right now red hot, nobody scares you. Like, you know, Phoenix lost at home to Buffalo last week. Dallas is kind of lurching around. Nashville's kind of lurching around. Winnipeg, they're the one hot team. You know, Vancouver's going through this stinky phase right now, but you don't look behind you and say, if we can't right the ship, any of these teams really terrify us. I mean, the key thing, they need to get Henrik Sedin back, and he started to practice with them again yesterday. They need to get some of their guys going. But, Ryan, if I was in charge of a team right now that was really lurching away, unless I got a ridiculous offer I couldn't turn down, I'm waiting. If I'm dealing part of my core like the Canucks might be, I'm waiting until the summer, and then I'm saying, you know what, I want to see who else is upset with their group and see what my bigger picture is in terms of making deals. Like, none of their guys are at the end of their contracts. They've all got term. And under the new cap, that's going to make them even more valuable. I would sit there and wait and say, okay, let's see who plays well the rest of the year. Let's evaluate who we really want to keep. And then we can decide what we want to do. But, you know, in the middle of a season, although I do admit that the Olympic break does allow for some extra talk, I'm not making it until I see who misses the playoffs, who gets knocked out early, and who's desperate to fix their team.
Have a fine week, buddy. Great stuff. We'll talk to you Friday.
Just one thing. I checked it. I just pulled open my notes while we were talking. Teams can only have 3 contracts on the books when they have retained salary in a trade. I did get that right. Mm-hmm. You can keep only up to 15% of the salary in a given year. Mm-hmm. Only 50% of a contract can be kept, and a contract can only be traded in one of these deals twice. So there's nothing preventing you, as I thought, from doing it over multiple seasons.
It's unbelievable, folks.
That's why we bring them in.
I hate going on the air and getting things wrong, so I grabbed my notes as we were chatting.
You don't often, sir. That's quite impressive.
Makes you the only one here.
Yeah, that's right. We have no problem with doing
well,
this.
Well, you pay me for that.
Yeah,
you guys
true.
Are paid to be incorrect.
Right.
I'm not.
Take care, buddy.
Take care, guys.
You bet, man. Elliot Friedman from Hockey Night in Canada.
Unbelievable? Just reels it off.
Oh, yeah.